Welcome to Worst Year Ever, a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not. Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
It's the end of the election as we know it, and Cody shaved his beard. It's the this. That's how we're starting the episode today.
Some hard truths. Hard truths up top.
Yeah. People who watch your show will understand why you've shaved your beard.
They will. They'll get it. I'm here too. Hopefully they forgive me.
Katie, are you as unsettled by clean-shaven Cody as I am?
I think that I'm more familiar with clean-shaven Cody.
Okay.
It is always jarring, but I adjust.
Yeah, I mean, I've dispatched some of my death squads from El Salvador to deal with
already
what I consider to be a problem. Yeah, I mean, I've had him on a hair trigger for a while now, so.
Okay, Cody, you've been warned. Are they going to be able to recognize him without his hair on his face?
I mean, to be entirely honest, once they, I mean, they just kind of start firing. They're not a very precise death squad. But you know what they say about death squads, if you don't use them, you lose them.
Yeah. Death squads don't need to be precise.
They don't need to be precise. They just need to shoot.
If they're about death, it doesn't really matter who's...
Doesn't matter who. Doesn't matter why. Doesn't matter where.
Speaking of death squads. Let's talk about the election.
Excellent.
You know what? That's a solid transition. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. So, how's everybody feeling about the potential of a civil war?
Unnerved. I'm anxious. Yeah. I'm anxious, I'll be honest. I'm anxious about a lot of things, and that's one of the things that is a part of the anxiety.
Yeah. Yeah, unnerved is pretty accurate. I'm also optimistic, weirdly, because
about
I just have to be.
I am also optimistic about the election. I'm not optimistic about the potential fallout of the election, whatever that may be.
Well, right. Yeah. The results, no matter what they are, will not be taken well by some people.
Yeah.
Not sure who necessarily, but various.
No matter
people.
What happens, a lot of heavily armed people are going to be really angry.
And that's fine. Some of those heavily armed people don't even care about the election; they just care about the opportunity to be angry and armed.
Yep.
That's the real X factor to me here.
So, like, obviously, the elephant in the room is that, like, I've been shouting about this for, I don't know, like, four-ish years now. And I guess I should start by pointing out two things, one of which is that the last, like, week, there have been a fucking avalanche of we're heading towards a civil war articles in the mainstream
media. Yeah,
there
sure are. Overwhelming.
And I'm, oddly enough, cautiously optimistic, more so than I was this summer when, if you can recall, I was falling apart and certain that we were all going to be murdered in our beds. So that's, I don't know, it's entirely possible that, like, I just, my brain has just been shattered by exposure to anxiety, and so I've tended towards unreasonable optimism.
Funny because one of the articles that came out this week quotes you a lot and paints you as not optimistic.
it's because that he interviewed me during kind of the worst of it, and I actually do still stand by what I'm saying, because what he quotes me as saying is very accurate, which is that there are a lot of the preconditions you would need for a civil war present, and one of the things that is kind of unsettling about that article is that the other main source for the article is a guy named David Kilcullen. He used to be the head strategist for the U.S. State Department. He was one of the architects of the surge in Iraq. He wrote a book called The Accidental Guerrilla, and he's written a great book on counterinsurgency. He's considered, like, the world's chief, like, state expert in counterinsurgency. He's very, very good, and he consults for, like, national militaries and stuff. And back when I was first playing with these ideas in an orderly fashion, when I wrote an article on what a civil war would look like in the U.S. in the modern day in 2016, I reached out to him, and like, he was, you know, one of the main, if not the main expert that I cited. And now we're being cited alongside each other in articles by the mainstream press,
that's
which is a little
be kind
unsettling.
Of
it's
unsettling,
more unsettling,
flattering, whatever.
And, you know, David has only gotten more concerned over the last 4 years, which has mostly been the case for me as well. And there's a number of good reasons why, including the fact that you have, I mean, Philadelphia just went off last night, right? And yeah. one of the things yeah. that happened, the police shot a 27-year-old black man to death. He was 10 feet away. He was brandishing a knife, but he was not, like, charging them or anything. He was clearly having a mental health episode. His mom was there trying to de-escalate him. They shot Jesus. Him 10 times. And then the entire city of Philadelphia did, like, lit up, like, went fucking off. And it's, like, it's not like Philly has been prior this year. It's like Philly was when the Eagles won, like, that level yeah. of unrest.
Didn't 30 officers get just injured in some capacity?
A lot
like
of
that.
Them did.
Yeah.
A truck drove through a police riot line yeah. and badly injured an officer. Like, and oddly enough, I'm not seeing, it doesn't seem to be like the biggest
that's
story
what I,
right
that's
now.
That's what's wild to me is that's, I think that there's going to be at least a significant number of listeners that are like, oh, wait, what?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
It's not
yeah.
trending on Twitter. I'm not seeing it as the major
headline, but then it stopped.
When I finally checked in last night and I saw a little bit about it, but it was just not there.
I mean, I think that has to do with, like, probably we've reached a state of saturation with what the people call riot porn, you know? Mm-hmm. That it doesn't fucking catch on to the extent that it used to, you know?
And I think people were focused on all the other stuff.
Right.
That's there's
the election and Supreme Court
Amy Coney
stuff,
Barrett
all that.
Confirmation yeah. yesterday.
Yeah.
The rules from, you know, anyway.
Yeah, the Amy Coney Barrett. Exactly, Katie. And one of the yes. things that I also suspect is happening is I think that, you know, in 2016, because the media is generally gross and terrible, a lot of people... A lot of reporters and stuff, like bad ones, but ones who make a lot of money for big, you know, TV networks, were excited about Trump because he meant great traffic. And now they're all scared, which I think is why the far right isn't pushing as much stuff into the mainstream. Some of it's that people have legitimately learned and aren't being taken in. But I think some of it's just they knew what they were doing last time and they're fucking scared now. So they're not giving that shit oxygen. And I wouldn't be surprised if there are some less than ethical people in media who aren't giving this oxygen because they're afraid it'll fuck up Philadelphia or afraid it'll fuck up Pennsylvania for Biden. And they're scared now. I don't know. That's a conspiracy theory from Robert.
But it's completely believable.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's there's a lot going on.
Yeah. It's a lot's going on. And yeah, I guess we should get into. So we wanted to talk today about what we think the actual odds of political violence on a mass scale are right now. So yeah, I mean, Katie, do you want to kick us off with what you were looking into?
You sent me this one article that I found very interesting, and it's about gun sales, how gun sales have surged this year. And it's interesting because gun sales typically do surge in election years, but not like this. And it's been steadily increasing, and usually, like, they go up and then they recalibrate, but it's been increasing, and especially since over the summer. And what's interesting about it is that it's not with conservatives necessarily, it's with people from across the political spectrum. And it uses this one specific case study of a gun shop in Texas and a guy giving a class to people.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I did find it very interesting. What was about – so this article, as opposed to some of the other stuff that I've read circulating right now, is about liberal people – step, and not completely about liberal people, but about the reasons why people other than conservatives are afraid. And they're citing the president largely, you know, the president inciting violence and general unrest. And I think that that's very relatable to a lot of people. I know even in my life and in my circle, I've had people buying guns for the first time, people that are staunchly anti-gun, you know, and wanting to protect themselves, mm-hmm. protect their families. But it's all coming from, yes, like what they're seeing on TV and a reaction to what's happening all around them. And one thing that I did find interesting in this article was that a lot of people are wary of the police as well. Like, they're saying they can't rely on police to protect them. So they feel that they need to take this into their own hands. And so it's like a general distrust of each other and a distrust of the state. And that anybody will be able to take control of the situation.
Yeah.
which is incredibly depressing and also understandable right now, especially in, you know, this was in Texas, I would say, in certain parts of the country versus others. And I don't know. So I'm reading that in contrast with some of these other articles, like you mentioned, that are floating around this week. And you see that on the other side of the spectrum, you know, there's, you know, Facebook groups, there's organizations promoting how there will be violence after the election and are you prepared? And that is painting it as Antifa, you know, so it's increasingly polarized, but everybody is getting guns.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the things you absolutely need for a civil war. And one of the things that's interesting, you bring up gun sales. One of the things I find fascinating about the way guns work in the United States in these terms is how there are ways in which it's kind of like how, you know, how tobacco, right? Depending on how you smoke a cigarette, it can be like an upper or a downer. You can smoke it to get energy or you can smoke it like right before bed to calm you down. Like firearms kind of have that same role in certain ways. There are ways in which they escalate and make the situation here much more dangerous. And there are ways in which they make it less dangerous. I would say obvious, the ways in which they make it more dangerous are obvious, right? You have more people with guns, the higher percentage, a higher chance of people starting to shoot at each other, which is like what a civil war is two groups of people or more with political differences murdering each other with fucking weapons. You also, though, have, you know, it's kind of like this, the idea of mutually assured destruction that we had kind of during the Cold War, which is certainly not a strategy I'd recommend for anything, but also one can't deny we didn't have a nuclear war. And it's one thing when one side has all of the guns, right? When you have one political side in the country has every fucking weapon in the country, then you have sort of a recipe for kind of a Rwanda-like situation. When you have firearms evenly distributed, and they're not yet evenly distributed, but they're much more evenly distributed than they were earlier, you know, last year or whatever, you do have a situation in which there's a check on the side of the other armed group, right? Like, and that's not just like mutually assured destruction was not an ideal situation. It's not an ideal situation and it can go bad, but it can also stop violence from happening. So one of the things that I'm thinking about is the degree to which I was expecting mass shootings at protests by now in a way that there have been shootings, but there has not been the same kind of stuff that I was worried. Like, we had the Kyle Rittenhouse shooting, and then we didn't really have organized follow-ups. And I think one reason that that may have happened is that there were two cases of armed Trump supporters getting shot by people at protests. And so you do have this situation where the violence is not one-sided, and the people who might be interested in bringing guns and killing their political enemies know that there's a decent chance they will die if they do that. And they're not willing to. And that's not, again, nothing about any the situation we're in is in any way positive, but that's not the worst case scenario.
Yeah. There's an element, I think, of the cosplay element of this, sort of the LARPing and like sort of realizing like, oh, it could be real.
Yeah. And yeah, I could fucking die.
Yeah. And like just backing away from like what they sort of imagined was going to happen.
Yeah. The people I don't like can shoot back, and I, again, this could also, because there's guns on both sides, lead to a massive, horrible gun battle, it's not a zero-sum game, right? Mm-hmm. And one of the other things, when we talk about, like, the potential that things don't pop off this year, one thing that could be a long-term de-escalatory measure is if the fact that more liberals and people on the left own guns leads to a more nuanced gun debate in America that isn't just the Democrats want to take all your guns. And like, if that's not a cudgel the right has to hit their base with, that could in the long term, and we have to survive to the long term, in the long term lead to a sort of de-escalation. It's not impossible.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that makes sense to me. And it's just, I mean, this whole article, it stresses personal safety. That's like kind of the motivating factor for a lot of people versus wanting to escalate things, you know, at least for people on the left. I mean, there's certainly amount of people buying guns because they're hoping for the horrifying outcomes of all of this. But I think that that's interesting and probably true. I mean, to some degree, there is an element of, you feel a threat to yourself if you also know that the other side is also armed and are willing to use it. Not that I'm encouraging people to do that.
Yeah, I mean, it's all, I mean, one of the difficulties with talking about any of this is that, like, again, the phrase that keeps coming to mind is everything is teetering on the edge of everything. Like, all of this could break in so many ways, and nobody knows what's going to happen. And one of the things, you know, one of the things I do find interesting about both the Vice article that cited me and one or two other pieces I've read recently that have come out about the possibility of a civil war, and this is, again, something that I highlighted and it could happen here, is people, like, when civil wars hit, the general reaction from people is like, I didn't think it was going to be that bad. There's a good Medium article I found from a conflict journalist much more experienced than I am, a guy who's reported from Africa, which, among other things, is kind of like the brass ring of war zone journalism. Like, if you've reported on that, those kinds of conflicts, you're very experienced. There's a quote from his article that I would like to read. No one ever believes it will happen, that war will come to their community, so no one ever prepares. Worse, the international organizations meant to prevent war do little to ensure mechanisms that support conflict preventions are in place. Usually they're too busy appeasing member states who commit acts of war. I always ask people caught in conflicts the same question. Why did it take you so long to leave? Or why didn't you leave when you had the chance? The answer is nearly always the same, because we never thought it would happen. Now, yeah. One of the things that is maybe a positive sign right now is that a pretty good percentage of the United States currently believes a civil war is possible. It believes it's a real threat. One of the surveys I saw recently, like, suggested as much as like 60% of Americans think it's a real possibility.
Jeez.
Which is what I was going for with it could happen here. Because the first, if you're going to avoid it, right? Like, if you're going to not steer into a fucking iceberg,
if you want it to not happen, you have to see it.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And recognizing that there are people on the ship that want it steered towards that.
Yeah.
That the captain is drunk and angry. Yes.
That's positive that people at least are aware that it is a possibility. And it's so hard, I think, especially for people. You know, I'm here in Los Angeles and people talk about, should I get a gun or not? And it's, I think that a lot of people feel like there is a possibility. Some people maybe think that there is a probability, at least, of some sort of violence to be happening after the election, but they don't feel like it will happen in their communities. And then, you know, reading some of these other articles floating around, you know, I think it was BuzzFeed article that made the point that, it was the Vice article, that for most Americans, this war is one that they will be seeing on their televisions and it will be removed from them. It'll feel like the wars that you watch in other countries, not, you know, you'll know intellectually that it's happening here in America, but it still feels removed to a degree. Right. And so I think that there are a lot of people that feel that it's a possibility, but it also feels so removed from their daily life.
Yeah, kind of untouched. Like, I mean, kind of like how a lot of the protests this year have felt for a lot of people, where like politics in general these days, of just like the doom scrolling and the watching the news and the 24-hour news and the reality, all the stuff sort of coalescing in this moment, and you're just watching footage of police tear gas crowds, but you're not there, and it's not necessarily in your city or downtown or anything, and so it doesn't feel like it's in your country even.
Yeah, I mean, most of the people, like, this is, again, the thing everyone thinks Portland is, like, has been gripped in these massive riots that have shaken all of daily life. Most of the city has gone on, and most people in the city have not participated. No, most people in the city know someone who's participated or who has been, like, gassed because, but, like, most people in the city, like, are, like, where I live, there's, other than some graffiti, zero sign that anything's happened. Because there've been no protests out here, because there's...
Right.
Yeah. It's like... And that's the way... I mean, you fucking... Like, this is... When I was in Iraq, right, reporting on the fighting in Mosul, which was the most intense thing, not only that I've ever seen, but that I can imagine seeing. The place we stayed was about 40 minutes or so away by road without checkpoints, more like an hour and a half with checkpoints, 2 hours. But again, like not very far, like the distance between a suburban community and the city. And the place that I was staying, there were bars and nightclubs open and it was fine. Like that's fucking
and
war.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Exactly. And especially in America, it's so spread out and so large. And if anything does happen like that. It's going to be concentrated in not everywhere. We live in this fucking huge country.
Yeah, it's very big.
We have to take a quick break for products and services, of course. But then we'll come back and talk about this stuff more.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not. Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
And we're back.
Ooh. We sure are.
Wow.
You know what else is back, Katie?
What?
The looming specter of civil war.
I knew it. I knew it. It was on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah.
I don't know. Did you guys see this BuzzFeed article? The one about the scary
Patriot Front?
Okay. Well, there's that one, too. No. This scary statistic predicts growing U.S. political violence, whatever happens on Election Day. And that seems interesting to me.
Yeah, it's great. It's very
good. And it talks all about the political stress indicator and something that they've studied for a long time. You know, the different factors that go into political social unrest. And, you know, they deem this country to be a powder keg awaiting to blow. This is a direct quote. Even if a Biden landslide means that Trump has little choice but to step aside. And, you know, it all bases around this model about income inequality and how that leads to political instability, you know, and this is another quote, worsened by elites who monopolize economic gains, narrow the path to social mobility, resist taxation, inequality ends up undermining state institutions while fomenting distrust and resentment. And that's what we have here, you know. You know, they make the case that this isn't, you know, in the article, devil's advocate, you know, if you look at other countries where civil war has erupted, you know, they're generally much more economically unstable or, you know, less affluent. And we do have, we're a wealthy country, you know, that still remains true, but
we're a wealthy country filled with poor people.
Yeah. Poor people. And we're not taking care of those people and we don't trust our leaders. And again, from other articles, maybe this one, I don't know. We just keep mentioning, or at least I do, how many articles are floating around, but you can't really compare America to other places, you know, because what we have here is a very unique set of circumstances.
Yeah. And the divide, like the line, the polarization is very specific and rooted in our specific history.
Yeah. And we have more weaponry than any other nation's civilian population has ever had by a margin that's so wide it renders all attempts at direct comparison foolish.
Yeah.
Because no one's even vaguely close to us.
No, gun company. Yeah. Just call us gun company.
There was so many fucking guns in this country. Yeah. It's unbelievable. Like, and I'm a guy who's bought a gun almost every month this year. So, like, you know, when I say it's ridiculous how many guns there are in this country, it means something.
Yeah.
Also, even if there, if we do enter, and maybe we already are in a territory that's considered to be a civil war, it just doesn't look the same. It's not going to be the same as this side, this army versus this army. You know, it's a lot of probably amplification of what we already see happening, these clashes and happening at protests and in the streets.
Yeah, a civil war in the modern era looks like what we saw with the Rittenhouse shooting, but with a higher body count happening somewhere every week and involving exchanges of fire between multiple non-state groups. When that's a thing, that's a civil war. Whatever the government calls it, it will be a civil war when that's a thing, when it's happening in multiple locations, regularly, continuously, and involving not just massacres, but exchanges of fire between groups of non-state actors.
Now we have a definition, a working definition to go off of, guys.
It's good stuff. It's good stuff. It's going to be fine. It's not. Well, it might be.
No, maybe it'll be fine.
I mean,
well, that's the thing. I mean, talking about this all the time, and like, there are people who talk about this in a way where it's very clear that they kind of want it to happen.
Yes.
And then there are people who talk about it as a warning and like being more aware of the possibility to step back from the ledge.
Be prepared, as Scar would say.
Exactly. Follow Scar's advice.
I just realized they had all the little hyenas being Nazis, didn't he?
Yeah,
I would argue that the lions were Nazis and the hyenas were the heroic guerrilla insurgents.
But we digress.
Much like our friends the Mujahideen. Sorry, what?
A lot of victims in the the kingdom of Mufasa during that time. But I think it's it could be fine because most people don't want a civil war. Right?
Right.
Yeah,
right.
One would hope, like, right?
Right? Like,
I mean, I could take it or leave it, you know. Okay. I don't have strong feelings either way.
You do own that very nice technical, Katie, that you've been waiting for a chance to use.
There's a new gun girl in town.
Yeah. The bet that I made with it could happen here was that the vast majority of people didn't want a fucking civil war. And so if you could get larger numbers of people to believe, like, hey, this is a real problem that we might have, then folks would pull back from the brink once they saw where they were headed. And again, like, the reason I did that is because, like, this much more experienced war journalist notes in the Medium article, "I cover civil wars in the state of America right now makes me anxious." That's the title of the article. Like, he notes, I went to, like, Ukraine, and the thing people kept saying is, like, I had no idea this was coming. Like, it took us completely by fucking surprise.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right, right. Yeah, exactly.
And that seems to be a through line of, like, I didn't know this was going to... Oh, it's actually happening.
Yeah.
I think but that humans...
Yeah.
Well, humans just... There's something in us of, like, it's not going to happen. Because maybe it's a coping mechanism of bearing through all the possibilities of the world, of being able to just say, nope, shut that out. But we have to be prepared for it.
Yeah. And that's how you really shut it out. Is by being aware of it, being prepared, but, like, being aware that it's a possibility and that we generally don't want it to happen. And it's been, I mean, we've talked about it for years and years. More and more people are saying. and I think that's generally good, aside from a few actors I can think of who talk about it in a way that seems like they would like it to happen.
Yeah, and when we talk about things that make me optimistic more so than I was earlier this year, you know, the threat that a lot of basically every single person who's competent in the field of extremism research has been warning about for a while, but finally got listened to this year, is accelerationism, right? That term has gone mainstream. And accelerationists are, for those of you who are just tuning in, people who want to accelerate the breakdown of society in this country. And they can be left or right or not easily categorizable as either. There's a variety of reasons. A lot of hardcore Nazis are accelerationists because they think that a collapse of the country will allow them to usher in, you know, a racial state. But accelerationists are like Adam Waffen, like the base, these groups who try to, and like a lot of the Boogaloo Boys, who try to bring about violence in order to cause a civil war and collapse the country. And one thing that's been good about this year is that a fuckload of those people have gotten arrested and caught attempting to carry out attacks. Now, the thing that worries me, like, obviously we had the FBI catch that that Boogaloo boy who was a small part of burning the third precinct down. A small part, I want to note. Right. That was a mass action. But who was the guy who, like, shot into the precinct with an AK-47 and had been at other protests around the country and had been in communication with Stephen Carrillo, who was the Air Force military guy who killed, like, two or three cops and scrawled, like, the word Boogaloo and blood on the hood of his car. And they were actively attempting to cause a civil war with a cell of other Boogaloo type actors around the country, and they got busted, and their OPSEC was fucking terrible. Like, they were, like, texting each other, like, gonna go commit federal felonies now, LOL, I shot some cop. Like, it was, and so the good thing about that is that a lot of these guys are very dumb, and they've been caught as a result of it, and it scared the others. The bad thing is that there's a decent chance there's someone really smart out there with the same goal. Someone like Tim McVeigh, right? That's always the nightmare. Right. Tim McVeigh was exceptionally competent at what he did. And, like, that's the horror, right? Is that someone, there's someone who is too smart to have been caught.
It's the
that
same
the FBI
thing with,
won't get, you know?
Yeah, it's the same thing with when we talk about Trump and Trumpism and stuff, where it's like, well, he's an idiot and he's incompetent. There are candidates out there who won't be that stupid and incompetent. And there are people out there who want these kinds of things that, yeah, could be just really, really not, you know, filming themselves in a PT Cruiser practicing kidnapping a governor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's so that is one reason I would say that I'm a bit more optimistic. Another reason that I've gained some optimism recently is that I think the right, and again, you can make fun of me if I wind up being wrong, but I'll probably be dead, so the joke's on you. I think the right moved, the far right, not to say that like most people on the right are up for this shit, but like the insurgent right jumped early this year. And their security was bad. I had a Bellingcat article, you know, a month or so ago about some of the stuff we were seeing. And they got exposed for some of their planning, and they got in trouble. A number of them got arrested. And I think they may have jumped the gun in a way that has reduced the odds that they will move in a cohesive way to take violent action. Now, I would be very surprised if Biden wins. I'd be very surprised if there are not at least one and probably several terrorist attacks around the country, right? As a result of that, inspired by that, or at least attempted attacks. I would be surprised if it didn't happen. And not necessarily like the day after the election, but like within the next, you know, year. I suspect we'll see several. But that's different from concerted armed action to overthrow the government to stop a transition of power. I'm less worried about that right now, although obviously we still have a lot of questions about the Trump administration potentially stealing the election, you know, not just voter suppression, but like faithless electors.
Yeah, that's a big thing. And like what happens if it's close and ends up going to the Supreme Court, things like that make me nervous.
That'll lead to like both sides protesting each other. That's where like the conflicts come together.
To me, that's the real thing. But right now, I'm feeling positive about the election and that the results will be such that some of this stuff doesn't happen. That it's more clear. But I mean, Trump just seems on the back foot right now. And I say this again, knock on wood. Fuck me if I'm wrong and I'm cursing our whole country right now with these words that I'm uttering, because the truth is that right now we're seeing massive amounts of people early voting, but a lot of people anyway, are mentioning a potential red wave that comes on actual in-person voting. That's what people are warning of. And we'll see. We'll see what happens on election day. But I don't know.
Yeah, nobody does know. You know, I'll be surprised if that's what happens. I don't buy the thing that like a bunch of Trump supporters are all lying. There's not hard evidence to state that, and it comes very close to, you know, the shit that fucking Nixon always said about the silent majority and shit. And there's never been evidence to suggest that voter suppression or somebody fucking with the electors, like absolutely. Yeah. I could see.
Yeah.
That
yeah. There's yeah. legal fuckery that can happen. And obviously voter suppression, and ways in which they cannot count certain votes, depending on when they come in, things like that. Long lines. If there is like a huge wave on election day, people might not be able to vote.
I mostly pointed to that as, right now, it feels like those assholes are losing, and that's encouraging. And I believe that is what will happen. I want, I have to be hopeful.
You gotta.
But let's not underestimate the fact that people will show up in person, that if it does become close, if there's weird, electorate shit that happens, we just don't know. And there definitely will be more votes for Donald Trump happening on election day.
Oh yeah, for sure. And just like, you know, let's say there is hope for this country, and let's say there is, and the country overwhelmingly rejects Donald Trump this time around. The thing about Trumpists in particular is they're sore winners. I can't imagine what they're going to be doing when they lose.
Yeah, the time from when the results are announced and if he loses and the time he still has so much power is pretty scary.
Yeah, you have a couple of months between him allegedly leaving allegedly. Or not. Yeah. And
yep. It's his home, Cody. Why should he have to leave his home?
That's fair. Doesn't he want to go back into his literal golden tower?
Yeah. I mean, you know, he has been making more statements lately that have been, instead of like the election will be legitimate, like, I guess I'll have to leave the country if I lose. Mm-hmm. It'll be so embarrassing.
Bye.
Which, who knows what he means by literally anything he says, but yeah.
But yeah, he's adjusted to be like, if I win, not when I win.
Yeah.
There is some uncertainty in the way he talks about it.
You have to think he got pushback from the military this year, which is why, you know, there's already been reporting that he promises to kick, you know, the people who have pushed back against him in the military, and like Ray and the FBI, out as soon as if he wins a second term. He'll consolidate power like dictators.
Hurrah, yes, yeah. Yes.
But you do have to think that there's word from the military that, like, I don't know, like, if he got pushback on deploying troops to crush protests, you would hope it's been made clear to him that, like, if Biden wins a very clear and undeniable victory, like, you're going to leave.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because that's our only potential job in this.
Of the military. Yeah.
Now, he does have, like, one of the things that concerns me, like, I will promise you all now so you can hold us to it. After the election, if Biden wins and we're not, you know, like, things don't go off the fucking deep end even more than they already have, we'll do an episode on the things that will be worse under Biden than were under Trump, and, like, the things that will be better, and try to break that all down to you as best as we can. One of the things that'll still be a problem is that what we've seen during this unrest this year is the increasing federalization of law enforcement. It started in Portland. I expect we'll see it in Pennsylvania soon as a result of the protests in Philadelphia, where, because like in Philly, or in Philly, like in Portland, you have a very progressive DA, district attorney, who's agreed to drop a lot of charges against protesters that he considers to be, like, excessive or not very valid. And what we had happen in Portland is the feds step in, officers get deputized, feds start charging people who had their state charges dropped with the same charges. You will see stuff like that happening, because the federalization of local law enforcement is a thing that has to be confronted directly and turned back in order to stop it. Biden will happily let it continue. Look at Standing Rock, you know, like the Obama administration, look at Ferguson. The Obama administration had no problem using, like, unbelievable militarized police force against protesters. There's no way Biden would want to give up that card unless he's forced to give it up. That said, I think he could be forced to give it
up
potentially,
what I was,
whereas
yeah,
Trump can't
gonna chime
be.
In. I think that there's much more leverage there.
Yeah.
Under that administration.
Yeah.
So we gotta take a quick break.
We do.
You know what we'll do then?
Have to do that.
Take a quick break.
Oh, thank you, guy.
Let's take a quick break.
Like
just
Cody,
a quick
ooh,
break.
I'll have
Cody.
Time to get in a Quibi. I haven't checked Quibi in several weeks, but I'm excited to see the new Quibis.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not. Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
We are back, and I have some terrible news about Quibi. It appears someone has deleted the app from my phone.
No.
Oh, are they allowed to do that?
Sorry.
How will I ever catch up on fine Quibi shows like, okay, Daniel, here, just include, you know, just cut me vamping here out and include a list of the great Quibi shows once you figure out what those are. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there will be many. Okay.
Oh, got him. Oh, that was you did the list. You did the list of all of the
great Quibi shows.
Heart goes out to anyone who lost their jobs at Quibi, which was a bad company.
Thoughts and
that shouldn't
prayers
have existed. Yeah. I mean, I sincerely mean that, because it sucks when people lose their jobs. But like,
yes,
I also sincerely mean that.
If you're like a working person and not Katzenberg,
like there are a lot of talented people working on it. But like, if you're not Katzenberg, like, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
but
I'm sorry.
That guy in
a
stupid app,
Meg Whitman. Is being vetted, not being vetted, is apparently on a been thrown around as a potential nominee.
Political
cabinet post,
person.
Yeah.
What cabinet position again, Katie?
Not specific. Non-specific. I have not heard that.
God, you know, if there's anyone who's fit to be the Secretary of State, it's the person who led Quibi to such incredible heights of success as the show.
California.
Yeah.
She lost
I told my
Jerry
friends,
Brown.
my my girl text group, they were making fun of Quibi, and I said that. And my friend sort of defended. She's like, well, she's done other stuff, too. And I was like, I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care what other stuff she's done. She thought Quibi was a good idea.
Yeah. If you thought Quibi was a good idea, perhaps you ought to reevaluate how you would think about the world, because you were drastically wrong. And it's not the coronavirus. Quibi would be in the same position it is now if the virus hadn't hit.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Quibi should be thriving. Online streaming media services.
People are stuck at home with nothing to do, and that's why Quibi failed.
Oh, okay.
You know what else is a quick bite? The odds of death squads in your neighborhood.
Yeah.
That one fell apart in the last leg there. I'm sorry.
Is a quick bite out of crime? I don't know.
You got to shoot him in the leg instead of the head.
Let's talk about that, though. Let's talk about more of this.
More of it. God.
Okay, Cody?
Well, so I just wanted to bring up a little bit about the potentiality of the stealing of the election.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
It's a possibility. And more and more articles are saying this, and talking about the 2000 election and how that went.
We got 8 years of President Gore. Mm-hmm. Climate change isn't a problem.
Yeah,
we dealt with it. Yeah.
If only he hadn't just rolled over and died. I don't know, man.
How many votes was that?
I'm just thinking about climate change, of how we all should have listened to Al Gore.
Yeah.
Way back then.
Yeah, I mean, he was wrong about specific things vis-a-vis climate change, but he was right about, we should have started doing
something about it. Maybe look into it a little bit.
He could have learned on the job. He would have wanted to learn on the job. Anyway,
he should have been slightly less boring.
Yeah. What if he had a skateboard? Oh, I just invented Beto O'Rourke. I'm sorry.
You jumped a couple decades to our good buddy Beto doing his, I don't know, ollies. But interesting thing. So aside from Bush's legal team during that whole debacle, one of the people who helped pick that legal team, Ted Cruz.
Cute.
It's also, one of the people responsible was Roger Stone, who just got pardoned.
Oh
yeah, so there's a lot of, it's interesting how just everything is, it feels like a cycle of, just like a repetition. It's just over and over and over again. And here, all the greats are coming back. All the star characters.
Yay.
Three of the people on that legal team that gave Bush that election and said that recounting the votes was a violation of his rights. Three of those people are currently on the Supreme Court. Kavanaugh and Roberts and Barrett were all on that legal team. Yeah, wow, right?
It's great. Almost like that was purposeful.
Like that was pretty purposeful, huh? It's very.
She was on that legal team. She only practiced law for like a year before becoming a professor.
Yeah, it's wild. They're all blatant frauds. It's all on purpose, and it's all just upsetting and points to what they're doing, what their plan is. They rushed this appointment through, in 30 days, 8 days before the actual election day, because they know where this is headed. Or at least they know where it might be headed. Yeah, eight days.
And then they ruled yesterday. Was it Wisconsin that they are not extending the deadline for mail-in ballots to arrive?
Kavanaugh.
I mean, again, 8 days before the election.
8 days before the election, yeah. So it seems like they're heading towards a situation where they're going to decide that if your mail-in ballot, even though it was postmarked before election day or on election day, if they didn't receive it by election day, then it doesn't count. They will not count that vote. They're really pushing for not counting any votes after election day.
I just want to interrupt right now and say, if you haven't sent in your ballot, don't mail it. go find a dropping a oh, center, yeah,
drop
a vote
box,
center.
Dropbox, absolutely.
Go do a Dropbox. Do not mail your ballot at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so that is a lot of this signals like that being made by our beautiful president and his crack team of lawyers,
thieves?
I guess. I guess thieves is maybe a better word. It's so blatant.
And rapists, thieves and rapists. Yeah.
Also, a side note, George W. Bush's 2000 election legal team, again, who included three of the current Supreme Court justices, unbelievable.
Good stuff.
Wow.
Good stuff.
Argued during that election in 2000 that ballots arriving late and without postmarks, which were thought to benefit Bush, must be counted in Florida. They're all frauds and liars. Yep.
They are all frauds
and
liars.
They do not care. They just do not care. And they're going to do it. They're just going to do exactly that.
Yeah, they will steal everything from you and leave you choking to death in an uninhabitable world to make their own lives modestly more comfortable. Mm-hmm.
They need an extra chair in their bunker to put their feet up. Not to have somebody else sit in it, but to put their own feet up.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, that goes back to kind of what we were talking about earlier of this, you know, you have all this intense, wealth inequality and, all this anxiety, and they know, mm-hmm. All these people know, and they've been hoarding for years because they know where it's headed. That's why they're building all their bunkers to hide from the thing that they know is, possible. And it's just disgusting. And obvious, and who knows what will happen. Maybe Texas will turn blue actually this year, and it won't be an issue because there are scenarios where they can't contest it.
Maybe
it'll
turn
overwhelming...
blue like Mitch McConnell's hand.
Exactly.
Hey.
Maybe it'll turn yellow like
his
face.
Upper lip question
and his there? Upper lips. Something is wrong with that man.
He just
dipped
his hand in a bunch
thinners.
Of blueberries.
This is like my grandpa was. His hands looked similar when he was near the end. You know, it's a thing that happens when you take blood thinners.
Yeah. He's old.
I don't want to make fun of serious conditions, but
I hope that Mitch McConnell is not capable of doing anything very soon. I will not make fun of, you know, people who are on blood thinners because
things happen. Yeah.
But I do hope bad things happen to Mitch McConnell because he's trash.
Both things can be
true. Actively toxic.
Things happen to human bodies all the time. A lot of different things and no shame on that. But
Mitch McConnell.
Yeah. He did this thing at the last hour.
Yeah.
Push this woman through.
Yeah.
And fuck that guy. Mm-hmm. But. So who knows? If it's an overwhelming victory, this won't be an issue. Hopefully, maybe they'll still try some fuckery. But another thing I wanted to just briefly talk about is some things that happened after that fiasco, or during the fiasco, basically during the recount. Specifically, something referred to as the Brooks Brothers riot.
Yeah,
Which was a fake riot. Organized by a bunch of rat fucking Republicans,
including Roger Stone,
including
one of its
Roger
chief
architects. Yeah,
good
exactly.
stuff. Good
Again,
stuff.
All the classic characters are coming back for a sequel. It was a complete fraud. They did it for publicity. It was a PR thing. They claim it wasn't violent. It was a little violent. It wasn't like what we would describe as violent these days, probably in terms of protests. Because America has, I guess, upgraded their violence.
I'm proud of us for one.
But yeah, Brooks Brothers riot was a coordinated effort by the GOP to sort of make what happened happen. And it partly worked. Roger Stone was involved, and I don't see why he wouldn't try to do something similar this time around.
Yeah.
And Roger Stone is. I don't know these days, but communicates with the Proud Boys.
Mm-hmm. He sure does.
And
they love him.
The idea of, because it was like Brooks Brothers riot. It was like a bunch of guys in suits, basically, just like, no, we don't do the thing that you should do because the democracy. But if it happens again, America upgraded their violent protests. And if it gets to this place where it's uncertain, Roger Stone and I'm just that's worrisome to me that they'll do similar tactics legally, but also with the protest stuff, but amped up. We're all hopped up on goofballs, you know, and riding pandemic anxiety and
hopped up on just, goofballs.
Just 20 years of America continuing and getting us to this point. Doing those same tactics, but on steroids, is something that is a possibility. And I have no hopeful thought to end this on.
You know what a hopeful note to end this on is? If you're taking gunfire, right? If someone is shooting at you, it's very important to know the difference between cover and concealment. For example, hiding behind a car might seem like a good idea, but handgun rounds will pierce most parts of a car with lethal force to hit someone behind them, and rifle rounds will pierce basically everything but an engine block. Hard cover is more things like large trees, for example. Getting behind a large tree can provide a lot of cover. Getting behind, if there happen to be sandbags or a concrete barricade, you know, that's the difference. That's what cover is. Now, concealment is something that will not stop bullets, or not reliably stop bullets, but will conceal you. And obviously, being concealed is preferable to being in the open. Being behind hard cover is the best of all. So, whatever happens next week, keep all that in mind.
That's good to know. Great advice. Great positive advice. What a good note.
Yeah, to end on.
But we are hopeful.
Yeah.
We are pretty wildly back and forth.
Yeah.
Seven days.
Like that lady in that horrible Japanese horror movie said.
Yep.
The Ring. But America. Good times.
Good.
We started at the bottom and now we're here. Mm-hmm.
Katie's quoting comes to mind. This is great.
We started with the genocide and boy howdy, that might be how it ends.
Get a couple more.
I'm feeling anxious.
Yeah, it's great.
Go back to
great.
The hopefulness. That's how we should.
I am hopeful, but.
Young people are voting early in droves.
Yeah.
In key states. That's good.
You want to place a tourniquet above a bleeding wound from gunshot, shrapnel, or knife, and then tighten the tourniquet, and then you twist the windlass in order to stop the bleeding. If you don't have a tourniquet, a belt can work in most situations.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say British heartthrob Harry Styles told everyone to vote with kindness and endorsed Joe Biden.
That's nice of him.
That should move the needle in England.
Yep. I mean, 538 has a whole Harry Styles section. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. They've been waiting for that endorsement, finally. Mm-hmm.
They can get everyone's had bated breath. Yeah. Oh, Trump just conceded based on the Harry Styles endorsement.
Oh, thank God.
Oh, there we go. I guess we can drop this episode.
Oh, man. What a relief. Guys, you can check us out online at Worst Year Pod on Instagram and Twitter, and you'll find us there as well for more hot takes like this, I guess. But guys, we done it. We did
as
it.
As if there's another kind of take.
Cool. But hang in there, guys.
Check out.
We'll talk to you soon.
We'll see you on the other side.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, good luck. Pod speed, America.
Lovely. Worst Year Ever is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.